Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror.
Shit my pants.
Hello everyone, this is Gruesome Herzog. My very special guest today is actor Jack Amos, who played the character of Gertie the Clown in 100 Tears. How you doing, Jack?
Very good, how are you?
Great, I'm glad to have you on here.
Good to be.
Alright, well, you have quite a few movies. I know some horror fans and some thriller fans would be interesting to hear about. The first one I want to start with is, ironically enough, when you watch 100 Tears, you can see this poster hanging on the wall. It's called Unearthed in 2004. You got any interesting stories to say or give the look?
Unearthed is sort of, it's more of a science fiction film, I suppose, than horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would characterize it as... Predator meets Lethal Weapon.
Oh.
Has Tom Savini in it. He plays one of the detectives trying to find out what's going on with a lot of these deaths with these homeless people. And I play the coroner, and I don't make it very far. Somebody kills me in order to steal the body of one of the aliens we found. But additionally on that film, I also did the pyrotechnics and all the bullet hits and fire and explosions. We shot off 375 squibs in that film.
Wow. Yeah, I have yet to see that movie yet. I'm going to look for that and get that one. You know, I'm a fan of all kinds of horror, low budget, super low budget, you know, medium budget. I'm just a diehard, so nothing bothers me and nothing fazes me. That's a true horror fan, right?
That's right.
Well, the next movie, it seemed to got a lot of talk on Facebook last week. Marcus posted a trailer for this movie, and it sparked a lot of interest on a lot of people who didn't even, you know, hasn't had a chance to see 100 Tears, so they went out and watched 100 Tears. A lot of podcasts are doing clown, you know, clown horror type podcasts. But 100 Tears, I watched it, I popped it in maybe a year ago, and before I started doing, you know, interviews and reviews, and before I even understood independent horror, I couldn't get past 5 minutes of it. Like I said, it had nothing to do with the movie personally, just the style it was made. I wasn't used to it. So then I watched it 2 weeks ago, finally, and I must say, a lot of kills, a lot of blood. It's an all-around damn good movie.
Yeah.
And as you know, you're Gertie.
Yes. The clown. He's not bad, he's just misunderstood.
Exactly. Your daughter was the one that was, Rainy Brown.
Psycho.
Yeah. Daddy, can I kill? Many ways. Like I said, a lot of people seem to dig this movie now. I had a conversation with Marcus last week. We talked about this movie. And you playing a clown, a Gertie, and ironically enough, you never said one word in the movie. That had to have been hard.
Well, I've been an actor for a long time. And I'm at the point now where I pick up films based on challenge and of course pay.
Right.
So they said and it's a challenge for an actor to do a character with without speaking, because you still have to do communication. You still have to let the audience know what the character's thinking, what he's feeling, what he intends to do, what he's thinking about doing, you know, the process that goes on inside him still has to be seen. So it actually takes a very good actor to go without speaking, and probably one of the highest compliments I ever got was from Mike Gingold of Fangoria, when he talked about the film. He said, you know, the clown never speaks, but you always know what he's thinking. And to me, that was very high praise.
Yep. And I can tell you one thing. I know I've been reading a lot of reviews on this and a lot of, you know, and it seems like everybody seems to have a problem with Joe Davison, who was the writer. They're complaining about his comedy in the movie, but how I reviewed it, that movie needed some comedy to offset it a little bit to make it, you know, more of an entertaining film than just flat out a clown. You know, I thought he was excellent movie entertaining only because he had the wits. And of course, he was the writer of the movie as well. You got any good stories about Joe while making the movie?
Joe's a piece of work. Joe and I have worked together on probably 10 films, maybe more. I usually end up kicking his butt in the film. That's gotten to be kind of a thing with us. He was in Unearthed as well. I think that's the first film we worked on together, was Unearthed. And he was young and wanted to do all this stuff. And I've been a seasoned stuntman and special effects guy for a long time. And, you know, it was like, you're going to get hurt if you do it that way. Why don't you do it our way? And then he'd do it his way. He got hurt.
Stubborn.
And then after a while, he came to trust me when I said, you're going to get hurt. And I've sort of adopted Joe as kind of another son. He's he and I are good friends. We care a lot about each other. He has done several films, and he always put me in them,
right,
one way or another.
Now, were you first choice for the Killer Clown?
No, as a matter of fact. There was another actor. They wanted to do it, but he couldn't do it because of other obligations.
I mean, the way you're in this movie, it's just that hatchet. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest hatchets I've ever seen for any killer in a movie. But like I said, you know, for it being low budget or medium budget, however, I don't really know how much it cost to make the movie, but it was well made. I thought it was well made. It was, you know, it had the balance on it, but a lot of kills. And that's what a lot of horror fans love, is the kills. I mean, you terrorize a poor halfway house, and then the one, I guess what, the chef or cook or it was fighting you there for a while. Of course, you won eventually. But, you know, how can you, they had some scenes like you chop off the head of a girl in a wheelchair. I mean, seriously. Wow. But anyways, it had a great cast. Rainey Brown, as you know, she played Christine, your daughter.
Right.
Jeff Dylan Graham, which I think he's an up-and-coming superstar. I really like his acting. You know, Quibi Dorsey. You know, just a great cast, you know. So, you know.
Keyboy Dorsey.
Yeah. I said it wrong.
Yeah. Keyboy the girl who played Jennifer, Georgia Chris.
Yes. I'm sorry. I skipped. Yeah, it's an all-around good acting. You know, the movie was made solid with the acting and the storyline, so. You know, I think it's going to be one of those cult movies now, I think, in years to come, 10 years from now. You know, they're going to make their list of the top 10 clown movies of all time, and it's going to be on that list. So.
Yeah, we Marcus and I, who was the director and special effects guy, he's responsible for most of the blood and gore and guts and groove, and DP and everything else in that film, editor. He and I talked a lot about the clown before we got started, and we didn't want to make him like this. Well, a lot of these clowns movies, the clown is, I don't know, I want to say a clown.
Right.
We wanted to make the clown a person.
Right.
You know, not hook him up or do anything. I mean, Gertie is very matter of fact about the way he kills. He doesn't go crazy. He doesn't try to scare people. There's no suspense in the film whatsoever. You see the clown, somebody's getting it.
Right. That's what I like about the movie. Yep.
And the body count in the film, depending on which cut you saw, is right around 38 bodies. We killed 48. Some of them didn't make it.
Wow, 48. Holy shit.
That's a run out of ways to kill people.
Oh, my God. I mean, like I said, it's one of my favorites now. I mean, it's in, you know, I have it here, of course, but I have my favorites I really liked that I can watch again. But the next movie, I've been hearing about it. Now, as far as I know, it's not released yet, or could be. At least it doesn't say on IMDb anyways. But this is a action horror thriller, Experiment 7 in 2009. Do you know if that is available on DVD?
I think it is. It's a post-apocalyptic film. We have radiation, they call them rads, kind of zombie kind of things.
Wow.
There's a disease that's gotten all over the world, and also something has happened to the water. This is after everybody went to war and it didn't turn out well. And it's basically a run and gun film. I don't think that there's 5 minutes where somebody isn't running from or fighting something.
Okay. Yeah, I tell you what, it has a great cast as well.
Well, Joe wrote that one as well, and he is one of the characters. And Rod Grant plays the other main character along with. And now my mind just went blank.
Candace Rojas?
Candace Rojas, who, by the way, is one of my acting students. I think I set her on to that film. I sent her to audition.
Excellent.
So she's gorgeous. She's a very good actor. And yep. She's very down to earth and easy to get along with. And just a very earthy, personable person.
Right. I tell you what, Alan Roe Kelly, a phenomenal actor. Rainey Brown, you know. Mm-hmm. Jerry Murdoch, another great actor I really like. And the one that really intrigues me, she's a youngster, a good actress too, is Zoe Dalman Chalanda. I've seen a lot of short films that she was in. I think she's a phenomenal actress as well. I would love to see this movie, actually. You're saying it's something like a zombie-like deal, right?
Yeah, post-apocalyptic, I mean, if I'm saying that right. There's been either the kind of like zombie land. Something has happened that the world has collapsed.
Okay.
Book of Eli, all these kinds of things. And either a disease or radiation has changed most of the population into raving maniacs that come at you and try to kill you.
Yeah, I got to look for that one.
Yeah. Like a zombie.
That's a must-see. I got to look for that one. Well, the next one, like I said, we talked earlier, that I want to see. It's called The Uh-Oh Show in 2009, directed by Herschel Gordon Lewis, and has Brooke McCarter from The Lost Boys.
He plays one of the main characters. Joel Weinkoop plays one of the main characters. He was going to be the original Gertie. I don't remember if Keyboy Dorsey is in that one as well or not. But the special effects, again, were done by Marcus Cook. And if you like The Hundred Tears, you're going to like Uh-Oh Show because it's just as bloody.
Wow.
The basic concept is this is a game show. And it's a very late night cable game show in which if you win, you get some fabulous prize. And if you lose, you spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, they cut off.
Oh, Jesus. Interesting.
So, it's very hokey. Joel plays the producer of that particular show. I play the network executive. And the show has a huge late-night following, and it's kind of like the crowd comes in, and they're kind of like Gallagher. They got their plastic. And whenever somebody gets the wrong question, the whole crowd goes, uh-oh.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. It's very campy, very hokey. I tell people this is either the funniest gory movie you've ever seen or the goriest comedy you've ever seen.
Wow. Now, when's that going to be released? Did you hear anything?
It should be very soon. I know that there is a distributor. The premiere is happening the 28th of this month here in Tampa, and you can't do that until it's actually released or turned loose by the distributor. So any time now.
I can't wait.
And I'm sure they'll get a lot of hype being Herschel Gordon Lewis being the director. It's been a while since he did one.
Right, and that's on my radar now, so I keep write that down. Interesting. Is there anything else that you're involved with coming up?
Well, I am headed to California in May. Another action film. This one's called Meltdown. It's supposed to happen partly in Brazil, partly in Las Vegas. Basically, these explorers have found this lost tribe in the Brazilian rainforest, and they run across this big pile of gold, and they escape with two of the party's lives and a documentary video, and that's about it. Everybody else dies.
Wow.
And then it's a matter of cat and mouse, and it's kind of a Romance in the Stone, Indiana Jones type genre.
All right. I can dig that. I remember the Romance in the Stone. That was a unknown I guess that was what you call one of those unknown gems, because they made that Jewel Denial then, too. That was pretty good.
Yeah. So it's in that kind of category, I guess you'd call it.
All right.
There's another film that you can watch if you're into vampire movies, called Live Evil. It has Tim Thomerson and Ken Fournier in it. Now, I'm in the film, but you won't see me, because I was doing stunt driving in that film.
Yes, that's right. Actually, I had that movie. I gotta watch that yet. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That is a vampire movie. So.
And it's there's a lot of marks. You know, you start the acting filmmaking community is really a very small community. I remember the first time I went to L.A. to go do a film. Walked on set and I knew 7 people, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, right.
I could travel 3,000 miles, and I know people.
That's good. Me, it's just, you know. No, I'm just trying to think. I'm just babbling. But the 100 tears. Now, did you ever get any fan mail as far as because you're Gertie the Clown?
Oh yeah, we set up a MySpace account because when it came out, MySpace was big. And Gertie actually got a number of surprising people asked to be his friend. Brian De Palma, unsolicited, befriended Gertie. Let's see, Danny Trujillo.
Really?
Did Gertie? I guess he liked the film.
That's funny.
There's. Gertie has thousands and thousands of friends now. So.
Now, what is the MySpace address for that?
It is MySpace.com/ Gertie the Clown is one string.
Okay. Now that the listeners can grab one to, if they got MySpace, they can add Gertie the Clown on MySpace.
Right. And also, it attracted all of the evil, crazy, twisted clowns, of which there is apparently a rather large population, and all of those friended Gertie.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. All the king clown, you know, he's a king of all clowns, is he? Oh, man, that's got to be funny.
I discovered that there are a lot of people that just by being a clown is scary enough. when we were doing the convention route promoting the film, I mean, Gertie... Of course, Gertie's covered in blood and carrying the big meat cleaver.
Right.
I mean, people would run and hide just looking at him. I mean, he didn't have to be menacing. And of course, I never played Gertie to be, like, threatening or anything. And if you watch very closely in the film, Gertie never attacks anybody until you show fear or disdain.
Right.
And then he attacks.
That's a good movie. I can't. But anyways, is there anything else that you got going on before we end the interview?
Well, let's see. Worked again with Joe Davison on a film as Night Falls On. And we're currently in pre-production. We started, stumbled, farted, and fell on this one because our location turned out to be disease-ridden.
Jesus.
That's changed by the time it comes out anyway.
I can edit. Sorry.
Basically, it's kind of one of the old, I guess, Mike Stone, the old detective kind of sort of thing. And then it kind of goes H.P. Lovecraft on you. You go into this, they're investigating this warehouse, and turns out this old guy has been trying to bring his dead wife back and consorting with demons and doing all kinds of demonology, and it's a toy factory, and all the toys turn into demons and start attacking.
No shit. Now that has my interest. Kind of reminds me of Puppet Master in a way.
So, and it's another running gun. I mean, it's you kind of get the introduction, kind of the old Mike Stone detective kind of stuff, and then from there on, it's just we're fighting or running.
That's neat.
all up, I've done a whole lot more commercials than I have films.
Oh, really?
Commercials pay bills.
Yes, that's right.
It's a little known fact that 60% of all actor income in the United States is from commercials.
No shit. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, you read about these guys making $20 million a film, but there's another 1,000 making, you know, $20,000 for commercials.
Wow. That's good money for a commercial.
Well, I mean, yeah, some commercials run anywhere from a local nothing that's just going to pay you a day rate of about, I would say, $1,000, and all the way up to one of the big, the SAG Nationals. This is one that's played all the way across the country, and you might make $140,000, something like that.
Wow.
One of those big ones. And then, of course, if you get to be the Can You Hear Me Now guy, you make $1 million a year.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Jeez. Yeah.
Can You Hear Me Now, making $1 million. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Most people don't know. This is another little known fact. I don't know how old you are. Do you remember the Don't Squeeze the Charmin guy?
Yes. Yeah, I'm 42. I remember.
Right. When he died, he was the actor who had made the most money on camera ever.
Really? Mr. Wimple? Is that his name?
Mr. Wimple had made more money on camera than any other actor alive.
No kidding.
And number two was the original Maytag Pinhead.
And that would be the one from WKRP in Cincinnati?
No, he was the replacement.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I do remember him. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who never had anything to do.
Oh, yeah.
Maytag's been down.
Now, I wonder how much money that lady did that she passed away by. The one for the, you remember it, fast food commercial. Was it Burger King?
Beef?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Wendy's.
Yeah.
She made several million dollars, and I think when she died, they found it in her mattress.
No kidding.
Literally. Yeah, she had grown up in a depression, didn't trust banks, and
where's the beef?
Yeah. Just crusty old lady that smoked.
Yes. And,
there's more time on your podcast. I mean, you know, there's plenty of stories about Rudy the Clown. That was a freaky movie to be made. The old warehouse that we used was a tobacco warehouse from back in the old cigar rolling days of Tampa. And this guy had talked, who was kind of in charge, was basically squatting in the place. He's an artist, he's a graphic artist, and he talks these people into letting him live in the abandoned buildings, and he's kind of like the night watchman.
Okay.
So anyway, we got permission to do this thing in this building. He had some other people there, some other artist types. We had this big New Year's Eve party, and one of these guys attacked one of the girls as she was going out to smoke, and somebody just heard the thump, otherwise he might have gotten away with it. They find him dragging the girl back with a wire around her throat.
What?
Yeah. And he said in this order he was going to kill and rape her.
Jesus.
Of course, he got a little street justice. I mean, the guys came around, they beat the crap out of him and threw him out the building. And then by the time the cops came, he was trying to kill himself with some broken glass.
Oh, my God.
This happened just before we started shooting.
Holy hell.
So we already had a serial killer in the building. And then the halfway house we shot in was really a halfway house, or more like a, I don't know, I call it a flop house. That was the nastiest place I have ever been in my life. I mean, the people that were there, I mean, here I am covered in blood, carrying a big axe, and I'm not even the scariest guy there.
Oh my God!
I mean, the one where Gertie stomps the girl's head and splatters blood just everywhere. One of the people, one of the denizens there, came walking out and looked at it kind of hard. And, you know, we said, "Don't worry, we're gonna clean this up." And he just looked at us and said, "No different than any other night."
Oh my God! You're kidding me.
Yeah. This place was, it was just endless stories in this place.
Oh my God.
The one where I chopped the guy's face into three paces.
Yeah.
That night, we're sitting around and we're looking at this bulletin board beside this guy's apartment door. And it has all kinds of weird disassociated words and poo-poo-poo and love hate and just, I mean, words that just don't go together for no any reason. They're not opposites. They're not similar. They're just like weird stuff, you know, like green Madonna. Out comes this guy, and he's just mumbling the same stuff that's on this bulletin board. Completely. Later on, I had a student who was a psychologist, a criminal psychologist, and he said, "Yeah, the guy's in a disassociative reality. He's not with us."
Oh my God!
This is the place we're shooting. Oh, I got Gertie got a serial killer groupie. This guy comes out and he says, "Oh, you killing some more guys? Oh, that's cool. I love that." The Virginia Tech massacre happens while we're shooting. Oh, this guy goes off on the Virginia Tech massacre guy. He says, "But you're still my favorite, Gertie."
Oh my God.
We couldn't wait to get out of that place.
Holy hell. So you actually filmed while they were there. Now how'd you keep them in the room?
Oh yeah. Well, they just come and go. I mean, we'd kind of block off a hallway and find a little out of the way spot or those stairs or whatever, and we'd just block them off for long enough to shoot, and they'd walk through, drag blood everywhere.
Oh my God. You're kidding me.
And we covered that place in blood, trust me.
Now, that was filmed in Florida, correct?
Yeah, yeah. All of it was filmed in Florida. The bar that was filmed in, that was supposed to be the Carney Bar, that is a Carney Bar, and it's really called Showtime.
No kidding.
There's a town down here called Gibsonton. We call it Gib Town.
Okay.
And it is the winter home of and retirement town, I guess, of carnies and circus people and show business people. And so that bar, you might see the Lobster Boy or, you know, Pinheads or anything like that sitting in that bar at any given time.
Oh my God. Oh, geez. Now, I want to ask you real quick, before I forget. Drago.
Yeah.
Villette. Norberto Santiago. Now, he, I thought, had a really good performance in this movie. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know if he was... I mean, it's surprising that Gertie didn't kill him right away, because he gave you a picture.
Yeah. Well, Gertie was always only looking for his girlfriend.
Right.
And he was just telling anybody got in the way or bothered him or found his place. Which I feel the same. And you don't see it, but of course with backstory, the things that happen outside the script that we use to make the reality of the character is Gertie's other personality, Edward Baxter.
Right.
Luther Edward Baxter. Luther talks. And we're diddling around with the sequel to it, 200 Tears or 101 Tears or whatever we decide to come up with. We're going to show some more of Luther.
Okay.
There was an end scene that we were going to use in 100 Tears where... Jennifer has written a book about the serial killer called 100 Tears. And she's in line at a book signing, and Luther comes up to her, just part of the line, sits down and asks her to sign it, and says he says to her, "I'm your biggest fan." She says, "Who should I sign it to?" Luther. Edward Baxter. What's that? She looks up and freaks out. That's the end of the movie. But the ending that's there, not to spoil it from anybody, was so popular with the audiences. I mean, there was usually just a huge cheer with that, and we said, "Well,
I know
we're not going to beat that. We may as well go out with a huge cheer," and we just cut it there.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, they're all. I mean, I can imagine. I mean, that was totally unexpected. That scene there. Well, that's interesting because I can't. I heard that. I wasn't going to mention it, but a sequel would be good justice, I think, because. Now, oh my, Norberto Santiago, I noticed that he's only in that movie. Was he a stage actor, or was he just somebody that was just picked up for the movie?
He's a professional wrestler.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Come to think of it, you're right. I couldn't remember where I seen him from before.
Right, his stage name is Chip.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, do you got any more stories about 100 Tears you want to share before we go? People are gonna love this.
Well, if you get the DVD, you get to see my butt where I was chasing Joe down the hall. One of the sequences where I was chasing somebody, and he was throwing stuff in the way to try and slow me down, and I'm jumping over it, and there was this one thing that. It's one of these potties that sits over the top of another commode for handy, old people handing whatever. Anyway, I got my legs caught up in the legs of that thing. It came down right flat on my hip.
Oh.
And I thought I'd broken my hip.
Damn.
But then we did get to show you a spectacular bruise. As part of the DVD extras.
Okay. Yeah, I just can't get over what you're telling me about the people in that house. Come on, that's funny.
Oh, it just went on and on and on. There was this crazy woman, this old car sitting out front of the place, and if anybody touched or got too close or leaned on this car, she went ballistic. "You're going to buy me a new car?" Yeah, it was crazy. It's foaming at the mouth crazy.
Oh, my God.
The whole place was like this. Who lived there with these people?
Oh, my God. Now, how'd you guys ever find that place?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
That's not my part.
You had it. Oh, well entertained, right? Let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, my God. There's drug deals going down. There's people who just got out of prison for murder. And, I mean, it was just, oh, my God, this place was. That plus everybody was sick for 3 days after we shot in there anytime. So,
oh God,
it just kept giving.
Ugh, that's interesting. Well, Jack, I want to thank you again for coming on. That's an interesting story. That's some good gossip there. Some good information. A lot of people don't know that. They're going to know soon, I guess. All right,
yeah,
Jack.
You talk to actors, and you're going to find out that there's always stories with having to do with locations.
Oh, yeah. Well, can't wait to hear the outcry on what they hear. It's going to be interesting. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
And you take care of yourself, and we'll talk again.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
You're welcome.
See
bye-bye.
Ya.
Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror.